Job chapter 42, verses 1 through 6, page 597. Let's please stand for the reading of God's Word. Then Job answered the Lord and said, I know that thou canst do everything, and that no thought can be withholden from thee. Who is he that hideth counsel without knowledge? Therefore have I uttered that I understood not, things too wonderful for me which I knew not. Hear, I beseech thee, and I will speak. I will demand of thee, and declare thou unto me. I have heard of thee by the hearing of the ear, but now mine eye seeth thee. Wherefore I abhor myself, and repent in dust and ashes. Let's pray. Thank you, Lord, for this evening. Our hearts have been warmed and blessed by the musical presentation. This service, this evening service, is always so very special. Thank you for the thrill of it, the blessing of it, and for challenging and helping our hearts. Give us a willing spirit to listen and to obey thee as you bless our preacher. In Jesus' name, amen.
Job said, I have heard of thee by the hearing of the ear, but now mine eye seeth thee. That's my text tonight. I want to speak on the subject, now mine eye seeth thee. I had heard of thee by the hearing of the ear, and now mine eye seeth thee. Our Heavenly Father, here I stand tonight, a sinner saved by grace, needy of thy help and thy strength and thy power. And the hour is later than usual, and I'll not be speaking as long as usual. So I pray you'd come quickly to this service and do thou what we need to have done so we can do what we need to do. In Jesus' name, amen. You know, it's very seldom that I sit out anywhere where you sit, and I sit back in the back about once or twice a year when something special is going on, like maybe the Christmas cantata or the college singing groups that sing for us in the spring of the year before they leave to make their journeys across America. And I sat back there tonight, looked across this vast audience. Of course, I could not see the balcony or the mezzanine. And I watched the people as they came and went. And I said to myself, what a tremendous responsibility it is pastor this church. All of this great host of this multitude of people, everybody has a need, everybody has a burden. And so tonight, as I always do, I come with the heaviness of the responsibility that's mine. Job is saying in our text, I'd often heard about God. I'd often heard about his goodness, but he said, now mine eye seeth thee. He said, I had been well, and I heard of thee by the hearing of the ear. But now that I am sick, mine eye hath seen thee. I have been financially prosperous, and it was then that I heard of thee by the hearing of the ear. But now that poverty has gripped my life, I have seen thee. I have heard of thee when friends flocked around me, and I had heard of thee. But now that friends forsake me, I see thee. Job is saying, I had often heard how you gave grace when poverty came. I had heard sermons, no doubt, from people or preachers who had told me how sufficient God's grace and God's presence was in times of poverty. Job said, he was saying, I've often heard the poor testify and tell how real that God was to them because they were poor. I had heard people talk, Job said to God, about your strength when they had lost all. I had heard of thee. The day came when I lost my houses and lands, said Job. The day came when I lost my camels and sheep, said Job. The day came when I lost everything financially. He said, now I know. I see you now. Don't shrink from financial reversal. It's a wonderful opportunity for you to find out for real what you had heard about before. Job said, when my interest was coming in, when my cattle were reproducing, when my net worth was increasing, when I was perhaps the richest man in all the East, I'd often heard about how good God is, or how good you are, God, in times of poverty. I had heard people who had lived by faith talk about how good you are. But Job said, now mine eyes have seen. I too have tasted poverty. I too have felt the loss of earthly possessions. I too have come to the bottom financially. Now I know. I think Job is rejoicing in chapter 42. I think he's praising God that he got to see what he'd always heard about. He'd always heard how good God was. Times of poverty, but he didn't know. He hadn't seen God. Let me tell you something, ladies and gentlemen. You'll never know God in a visible sense and in the total way that God wants to reveal himself to you till you look at him through poverty-stricken eyes. Job said, I'd heard, but now mine eye seeth thee. Job is saying, I'd often heard of your grace at the graveside. I had heard parents tell of your strength when they looked in the face of a lifeless babe whom they loved as they loved their own life. And I had heard parents stand up and testify and say, God's grace is sufficient. Job said, I had heard that. I had heard people tell of God's goodness in times of death and bereavement. I had heard people tell of your strength. But Job said, I have gone down the line and looked at 10 faces in 10 caskets. Every child that we have had has been taken in death. Job said, I had heard of thee by the hearing of the ear, but now mine eye seeth thee. May I stop to say this tonight? Ladies and gentlemen, every one of us ought to thank God tonight for the houses in which we live. As we look at the awful, tragic earthquake that came in Armenia, in Soviet Russia, as we realize they're saying now 80,000 people, more or less, died in that earthquake. Now, I'm thinking about the thousands and hundreds of thousands of people who are left to mourn their going. I'm thinking about the 500,000 people tonight who have no places to sleep in that cold country, have no beds, they have no cover, they have no houses. I'll tell you, when I put on my coat this morning, I just said, bless God for the coat I've got to wear. I put on my warm shoes this morning and I said, bless God for the warm shoes I have. I put on my hat this morning and I said, bless God for my hat. And if you had as little hair as I do, you'd bless God for your hat too. And bless God. I walked outside this morning and I said, would God I lived in it. But anyway, I'm saying that these are people. These are human beings. These are moms and dads who love their children like you and I love ours. And yet they've lost their children. These are wives who love their husbands who've lost their husbands, and husbands have lost their wives, and death has come. I'm simply saying, Job said, I had often heard of your grace at the graveside. But he said when the word came that our 10 children had been taken in one great fell swoop of tragedy. Job said, as I looked in the faces of our 10 children, and as I realized that there's a God in heaven and a heaven where God is, Job said, I know that my Redeemer liveth. He shall stand again at the last day. Though he slay me, yet will I trust him. Job said, I never saw him until I faced the reality of death, and I heard about it. People had told me how good God is. People have told me of the grace of God at the graveside.
People had told me of the goodness of God when the places were left vacant at the table or in the bed. And Job said, now I have seen with my eyes there is a God. He is a good God. He is a loving God. He is a merciful God. He is a gracious God. Job is saying, thank God I got to see Him in His grace. Job is saying, I had heard about Your presence, God, in times of illness. I had heard people say, when the doctor had said it looks bad, and the diagnosis is cancer, I'd heard people say how good You are. I'd heard people say, God, what a wonderful God You are, and how strength can be given, that You give in times of weakness, and how good You are in times of illness. Job said that when I was stricken with that awful disease of elephantiasis, I sat in the ash heap and got me a potsherd or a knife-like thing, and scraped the running sores and sat in the burning coals of the city dump so I could get some relief from my suffering. Job said, I'd often heard from sick people how your grace was sufficient at the bedside. I'd often heard from sick people how close You were when sickness came. But Job said, blessed be God, I know now. I know. I've seen You. Oh, let me tell you tonight, if God has placed a crepe over your doorknob, if God has placed a wreath on your front door, if God has placed an emptiness in your cupboard, if God has placed an illness in your body, look up and say, hallelujah, I have a God who loves me. I had heard of His goodness, but now, thank God, I can see. Job is saying, I had heard about Your strength in times of loneliness. Job is saying, I had been the most influential man in all of our city, and maybe the most influential man in all the East. Moms and dads said to their sons, I want you to grow up and be like Job. Moms and dads said to their daughters, I want you to find a man like Job. That's a model man. What a tremendous combination of wealth and generosity. What a tremendous combination of conviction and yet patience. What a tremendous combination of love for good and hatred for wrong. What a tremendous combination of grace and truth, honor and majesty, love for good and hatred for bad. That's the man, Job, the most influential man of his town. Job said, I, who had never been lonely, had heard how God's presence was to the lonely. I, who had never been forsaken, had heard how God's goodness and how good God was to those who were forsaken. But Job said, the day came in my life where people forsook me and fled. My fair weather friends left me and forsook me. Job says, I've learned now how good God is. Let me tell you something, ladies and gentlemen. If you never have yet in your life known poverty, let me tell you of a God who's wonderful in poverty. If you've never yet known illness, and you've never yet known what it is not to be well, let me tell you of a God who's wonderful at the bedside. If you've never said goodbye to a loved one, and never gone to the silent city of the dead, and walked that lonely path back to a lonely house, to a lonely table, to a lonely bed, if you never have, let me testify tonight how wonderful our God is in times of bereavement and times of heartache. If you've never known what it is to be lonely, you've never had people who applauded you to curse you, you've never had people who stood beside you, cheered you, to jeer you, you've never had people that shook your hand now not to touch you and walk away from you, let me tell you, we have a wonderful God who is sufficient and whose grace is sufficient in any walk or any need of life. Job is coming to the end of his suffering. Job is saying, I had heard how good God was in poverty. Now I have seen. I had heard how good God was in times of illness. Now I have seen. I have heard how good God was in times of bereavement and loss of loved ones. But he said, now I have seen. I have heard how good God was in times of loneliness. People who are lonely have told me when I was not lonely that God's grace was sufficient in loneliness. Now I know it. People who lost loved ones have told me that God's grace was sufficient at the graveside. Now I know it. People who had illness had told me how God's grace was sufficient at the bedside, and now I know it. People had told me had told me how good God's grace was in poverty. Job said, "Hallelujah! I got poor enough to see Him. Hallelujah! I got sick enough to see Him. Hallelujah! I got bereaved enough to see Him. Hallelujah! I got forsaken enough and lonely enough to see Him. I'd heard by the ear. Now He said, mine eye seeth thee." Job is saying, "I've heard of your strength when someone disappointed you. I've heard of your strength when people disappointed you." Job said, "Back in the days when nobody disappointed me, because I was the wealthiest man in the East, and everybody wanted to be good to me and play up to me and butter me up." But he said, "Now I've lost everything and I've been disappointed in people. Why, even my own wife," he said, "looked at me and said, 'Won't you curse God and die?'" Job said, "I heard about you, God, when I was cheered, when people rallied to my side, when I was popular, elected to office. But," he said, "I never knew you and could see you till I had to walk alone in the valley when nobody would have anything to do with me. And little children that once had applauded as I walked down the street now stick their tongue out and laugh me to scorn as I, the leading man of the East, am sitting in the ash heap of the city, scratching the pus off my running sores and sitting in the coals, the hot burning coals of a garbage dump, trying to get relief." Job said, "Hallelujah, I got to see my God." Don't shrink back from poverty. That's where you see God. Don't shrink back from bereavement. That's where you see God. Don't shrink back from loneliness. That's where you see God. Job is saying, when friends betray you and lie about you, Job is saying, "I've often heard people say how good God was in times like that." But he said, "When I was sitting in the ash heap," and can you picture it? Can you picture a man who's lost his riches? A man who's become the poorest man who was the richest man. Can you see him? The man who's seen seven caskets lying side by side, and all of his children filling those caskets. The man who has gone 10 times down the little trail to a hole in the ground and deposited the body of one who came from his own loins. Can you see him as he sits in the ash heap? As he says, "Dear God, when the sun was shining, I heard about you. When the clouds came, I saw you. When it was noontime, I heard about you. When it was midnight, I saw you. When it was cheering, I heard about you. When it's jeering, I saw you." And Job is looking up and saying what every single person here tonight who's poor ought to say: "I can see Him now. I can see His grace in poverty. I can see His grace in death. I can see His grace in illness. I can see His grace in loneliness. I can see His grace in being forsaken." Sits there in an ash heap. His friend Zophar comes up and says, "Job, you're being punished for what you've done wrong. Here's the guy that used to be Job's buddy, because Job used to help finance his projects. You know, I thank God I never have been rich. Nobody butters me up because of my money. Thank God. Brother, I thank God if anybody's my friend because they're my friend. And that's one reason I like to run with the poor people. That's why I like you so much. Thank God. I'd hate to be rich, I think. I mean, Job said, here comes Zophar. And Job said, boy, here comes Zophar. Everything's okay so far. And, that was a good one. And Job said, here comes old Sophie. Boy, I know he'll stand by me. Job is there in the ash heap, money gone, family gone, wife gone, health gone, everything is gone. Zophar walks up and says, "You're being punished, Job." Well, Bildad will help. Bildad's his friend. He walks up and he says, "Job, you're a hypocrite." Eliphaz walks up and says, "You're not deep enough. You haven't been to the charismatic meetings. You haven't been baptized with the Holy Ghost."
him talk with other tongues and did the nightclubs on Saturday night like Pat Boone done. Job watches those three men who he thought were his friends turn and walk away. Same path of rebellion his wife had walked. Same path of rebellion the whole city had walked. And there stands the man who was the outstanding citizen of the whole city, sitting in the garbage dump of the city with not enough money to write a check, not enough money to buy a meal. Body racked by disease, a form of leprosy called elephantiasis. His wife had turned her back and was not loyal and said, curse God and die. His friends have gone. His children are dead. He has no place to lay his head. He has no house. But he stands up and says, bless God, I used to hear about you. Now I've seen you, he said. I too had heard about God's goodness at the graveside. I too had heard about the strength that God gives in times of bereavement. But I saw on May 12, 1950, and May 13, 1950, when our daddy died an alcoholic's death. And I'll never forget when we went to the O'Neill funeral home, the same funeral home that embalmed President Kennedy after he was shot. We went to O'Neill Funeral Home. My sister and I stood there together. We spent that morning gathering up a few of Daddy's things, and we went by the funeral home quite a while before the funeral. We stood there and looked down at Daddy's face, and I touched his hand, and I wished I'd not done it because it was cold as ice. It felt like touching a stone, you know what I mean. And all of a sudden, fingers gripped my arm. And I turned to see who had their hand on my arm, and nobody had their hands on my arm. I felt those fingers holding my arm like that. And all of a sudden, I looked and I saw that nobody was touching my arm at all. And all of a sudden, it dawned on me, that's the hand of God touching His preacher boy. I had heard about God's goodness in times of death, but I got to see it personally. And I stood right here behind this pulpit, and this crowd was as big as the crowd is now, maybe larger. People here from all over America at the homegoing of my mother. And I did probably the hardest thing I've ever done in my life as far as preaching is concerned, preach the funeral service of my mother. When I finished preaching, I thought I could not take another breath as I sat down. But let me tell you, when we put that body out yonder in that crypt in our Memory Lane Cemetery, and our family all began to sing in unison, I heard an old story, how the Savior came from glory, how He gave His life on Calvary to save a wretch like me. We sang victory in Jesus and rolled that precious body inside that burial place, and the peace of God flooded my soul. And I said, hallelujah! Thank God for heaven! Thank God for Jesus! Thank God for the old book! Thank God for Mama's Bible! Thank God for Jesus coming again! Thank God for the rapture! Thank God for the resurrection! Blessed be God! Let me tell you, ladies and gentlemen, the thing that's preached on this pulpit is real! I know it's real! I'm not talking about hearsay. I know what I'm talking about. Once in a while, somebody comes here and they'll hold their ears like that while I preach. Well, if you'd get what I got, you'd holler too. Yes, you would. Blessed be God. It's real. It's real. I know it's real. Praise God, the doubts are settled. I know it's real. I'd heard with my ears, but I saw with my eyes. I'd heard with my ears the loneliness that could come when a preacher stood for what he believed. I'd heard with my ears from Dr. Robertson the loneliness that came when he had to take his stand with his nomination. The Hamilton County Baptist Association censored him. He had to walk alone, those with whom he'd walked. I'd heard with my ears when Brother Lester Roloff had taken his stand. All of a sudden, he had to walk alone. I had heard how wonderful Jesus is in times like that. I had heard with my ears from Dr. John Rice how when he took his stand one day against the evolution being taught at Baylor University,
Now that the committee came and said, you can't be a Southern Baptist anymore if you keep fighting against evolution taught at Bell University. And old Dr. John said, didn't decide, the Southern Baptist didn't call me, God called me to preach. I'd heard with my ears how God had blessed old Dr. John and catapulted his ministry. I'd heard with my ears how Brother Olaf had just been let free like a bird let loose to fly in the air from its cage. I'd heard from Dr. Robertson, I had read about how good God was to Charles Haddon Spurgeon when the London Baptist Convention voted him out of the association, and 7 people stood for him, only 7 people, and Spurgeon testified how good God was. I'd heard about the same thing about Martin Luther and John Wesley, but the day came when I had to make my break with my past, and my school said, you'll support our liberal tendencies or you won't be one of us. And my denomination said, you'll support the liberal schools. You listen to me, brother. There'll never be $1 come from my pocket to a school that does not believe this book. I won't give $1 to my pocket to a denomination that does not believe this book. They said to me, you'll walk alone, and I walked alone. But let me tell you something. Standing somewhere in the shadows, you will find him. And you'll know him by the nail prints in his hands. Standing somewhere in the shadows, you will find him. And you'll know him by the nail prints in his hands. Let me tell you, he's real tonight. He's real tonight. Maybe you've never known loneliness before, and you've heard about how good he is in loneliness. Let me tell you, it's real. Maybe you've never known the strength that God gives at the graveside. Let me tell you, it's real. Maybe you've never known the peace that God gives you in poverty, but let me testify to you, it's real. I too had heard of the sadness, but the grace of God when someone disappoints you. I too had heard of the loneliness that comes when friends betray you. I too had heard of the grace of God and His goodness in times of betrayal. I'll never forget that Saturday morning. I preached on the old-time religion broadcast in Marshall, Texas. I got home, the phone was ringing. Ms. Hiles said, somebody wants to talk to you on the telephone. First Baptist Church of Marshall, Texas had an all-night party for the teenagers that night. Night before, Friday night. Graduation party, I think. I'd never known what it was to have opposition before. And the newspapers told about how the young people petted and necked in the cars and 2 o'clock and 3 o'clock in the morning, then went in to get some coffee so they could stay awake and go out and commit adultery again in the cars. And I came out on the broadcast against that heresy, that wickedness, sponsored by a church, a Baptist church. When I got home, Ms. Hiles said, somebody wants to talk to you. He was a pastor of the First Baptist Church of Marshall, Texas. I was pastor of a little country church, 21, 22 years of age. He said, just Pastor Brother Hiles. I said, yes. He called his name and he said, understand, you mentioned us on the broadcast this morning. I said, yes, I did. He said, you'll never get anywhere with a spirit like that. I said, I'm not trying to get anywhere, Dr. Rutledge. I'm just trying to stand for what's right and against what's wrong. That's all. He said, you have a great future, Brother Hiles, if you'd ease up a little bit. I said, I'm not concerned about my future as far as the size church is concerned. I'm concerned about my future when I face my God. That's what I'm concerned about. He said, you'll never pastor a big church. You'll never preach to big crowds. You'll be a little country preacher the rest of your life. I said, okay, be it. I went out in the backyard, a little pine thicket. We had beautiful backyard, it's the only thing beautiful about the house, but back in the backyard is a pine thicket. I went out there and got on my knees and got my Bible. Ms. Hiles had asked me, said, what you going to do? I said, I'm going to go talk to my pastor. She said, you don't have a pastor anymore. The first time in my life it dawned on me I didn't have a pastor. I went out and opened this Bible and got on my knees in the pine thicket behind our house. And I said, dear God, I'm lonely right now. I think I did what was right. I want to stand for right and against wrong. And I said, dear God, this is your book. I don't have a pastor anymore, and I guess I never will have a pastor. And I'll be honest with you, there are times I wish I did. There are times I wish I could talk to somebody and say, Pastor,
Could I ask you for some help? Could I tell you about my problem? Maybe. But I said to God, I said, this old book's going to have to be my pastor. Could I testify tonight what a wonderful pastor I've had all these years? Let me tell you something else. I was preaching a few years later at the state convention, the state of Texas. 7,000 people were there in the Coliseum. As I walked up to speak, I stumbled over somebody who was sitting in a chair in the aisle. He couldn't even find a seat, and he had to sit in the folding chair in the aisle, not even in one of the permanent seats. Stumbled over him, and I said, oh, pardon me, sir. I looked down. It was a pastor of the First Baptist Church of Marshall who told me I'd never preach to a big crowd if I took my stand. Ah, let me tell you something. The God of Daniel is right up there in heaven tonight. The God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego is still alive. The God of John the Baptist lives tonight. I want to say, I'd heard about the goodness of God in times of betrayal, but I have seen Him now. I'd heard about the goodness of God in times of death, but I've seen it now. You know, I thank God that at 62 I'm not disillusioned. I thank God at 62, after hundreds and thousands of people have turned their backs on me through these years, I thank God I'm not disillusioned or bitter at anybody. I thank God I got the same optimistic spirit that I had 41 years ago when I first started off. And I thank God that every day is an exciting happening to me. I thank God that every time to preach is just a thrill and excitement. I'll be honest with you, I just wanted to get up here tonight and turn loose just like I did 41 years ago when I stood and preached my first sermon in a little country church in East Texas. Why? I'll tell you why. Because He's wonderful. That's why. Job said, I heard of you. I heard of you. When I was rich, I see you. Now that I'm poor, I heard of you. When I was well, I see you. Now that I'm sick, I heard of you. When I was popular, I see you. Now that I'm unpopular, I heard of you. When my family was all together, I see you. Now that I've lost my children and my wife has turned her back and walked away, I heard of you. When friends gathered around me, I see you. Now that Zophar and Bildad and Eliphaz have turned their backs on me. And Job just lifts his voice with a holy hosanna and says, praise God, I got to see Him. You check in the Bible every time folks got to see Jesus. Who saw Jesus? Joshua saw Jesus. When did Joshua see Jesus? He saw Jesus right before the battle of the next day. Captain Joshua is facing a battle of his life. A mighty city of Jericho and a mighty nation of heathen people to fight against a little unarmed group of Jews. In that dark hour, somebody came up and said, Mr. Joshua. He said, who are you? Joshua looked up and he saw the unseen captain. I'll tell you who it was. It was Jesus. Jesus didn't present Himself that night to the popular and the rich. He presented Himself to that leader of Israel, a little band of people who had been slaves, and little band of unarmed people who had to have a miracle of God. That's when Jesus came to Joshua. When did Jesus come? In the Bible, I tell you when He came. Jesus came that night when Jacob was lonely. He had betrayed his father and deceived his father and lied to his brother and lied to his father. He'd gotten a birthright that wasn't his and a blessing that wasn't rightly his. His mother said, you better go back to your old homeland. Esau's going to kill you. Jacob, a lonely, discouraged, sad, plodding young man, took off back to the homeland, and he had no motel to stay in. He had no house by the wayside to stay in. He had no hotel where he could rest his head. He had no friends in whose house he could stop and sleep. He just put a few rocks up and made rocks for a pillow. And lonely and discouraged and sad and homesick, he went to bed that night. Jesus said to the angels, get me a ladder. I want to stick it down there, and I want you angels to go up and down that ladder. I want to see Jacob tonight. Jesus always comes to those in hours of trial and heartache and sorrow. When did Jesus come? He came to Stephen when he had preached that sermon, was stoned, and as he was dying, he looked up and said, I see Jesus standing at the right hand of God. I say, Stephen, you're cracking up.
Jesus isn't standing. I read in the Bible. When he finished his work, he sat down at the right hand of the Father. Yeah, but he's standing up because he's welcomed me to heaven right now. Jesus came when Stephen was in the darkest of night. When did Jesus come? He came to John on the Isle of Patmos, exile on the Isle of Patmos. When did Jesus come? He came to Moses, and Moses said, I endured as seeing him who is invisible. Tonight, I'm not suggesting you go out and give all your money away unless you give it to me. I'm not suggesting a forced poverty. I am suggesting extreme generosity. But I'm not suggesting a forced poverty. I'm not suggesting that you go out and find all the germs you can, put them in a glass of milk and drink them. I'm not suggesting that you go out and kick your friends in the stomach, take an ice pick, stick it in the eyeballs of old ladies, push old men down steep hills in wheelchairs, or trip little boys and girls. They walk across busy downtown streets. I'm not suggesting that. I'm not suggesting that you forsake your friends and try to irritate your friends, but I am making an announcement. Whenever you walk into the silent city of the dead and you walk away from that grave and you leave in that grave a body that you love like you love your own body, I've got news for you. You will see Jesus then. Whenever friends have forsaken you and you have to walk by yourself and you know you've done what's right, I'll guarantee you, you will see Jesus then. Whenever the doctor has taken the test and looks at you and says it's malignant, I'll guarantee you, you will see Jesus then. Whenever your children have gone and you, and your wife has forsaken you, your children are in the grave, you will see Jesus then. Whenever you sit in the ash heap of the city scraping your body and sitting in the live coals of a city dump, you will see Jesus then. Rejoice if you're well tonight. But rejoice because if you get sick, you'll see Him in a way you've never seen Him before. Rejoice because you have plenty tonight. But if you lose that plenty, rejoice because there'll be a sweetness of fellowship with God in your poverty you'll never have in riches. You rejoice tonight when friends are applauding you and you're popular. Rejoice in that. But you rejoice also tonight if folks have turned away from you because of your stand for God. You rejoice in that. Job said, I've heard of you by the hearing of the ear. Now mine eye sees. Quit your belly aching. Quit your griping. Quit your complaining. Quit your self-pity. And look at your poverty as an opportunity to see Jesus. Look at your illness as an opportunity to see Jesus. And look at your bereavement as an opportunity to see Jesus. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in His wonderful face. And the things of this world will grow strangely dim in the light of His glory and grace, but you'll never see Him clearly through riches. You'll never see Him clearly through health. You'll never see Him clearly through much. You'll never see Him clearly through popularity. You'll never see Him clearly through success. You'll never see Him clearly through prosperity. When you get the place to where you're at the bottom, I remember one night when for the first time in my life I stood outside the camp. No longer was I welcome in the pulpit of my own church where I'd preached a revival campaign and supplied many times. Not only was I not welcome, I was not welcome in the college where I'd attended, though the president of that college had told me that I was one of the two outstanding students who ever attended that college in all of its long history. I stood outside the gate for the first time. Every speaking engagement that I had was canceled. And everybody that had me lined up for speaking engagement canceled me because of what I stood for and what I thought I had to stand for, or live or die for. And I was outside the camp for the first time. And I was lonely. And I heard a rustling. I looked up and I saw somebody standing there. His hands were outstretched. There were scars in them. He said, "Welcome." Outside the gate.
I said, when did you come out here? He said, I've been out here all the time. And I looked up, and I saw him in a way I'd never seen him. Thank God tonight, said Job. Thank God for my children, but thank God I've seen him at the graveside. Thank God for my riches, but thank God I've seen him in my poverty. Thank God for my friends, but thank God I've seen him in my friendlessness and loneliness. Thank God for my health, but thank God I've seen him in my illness. And so tonight, if you're here, and I'm through with, I say this, if you're here tonight and everything is going well, I want you to hear something. He's wonderful. He's wonderful. Because I want you to know one of these days, things won't be going well for you. It won't always be noontime. Sun's going to set in your life. Midnight's going to come just as sure as the noontime came. The sunset's going to come just as sure as the sunrise came. But you don't know it now, many of you. But I want you to hear it with the ear. I want to tell you, he's wonderful. And one of these days the sun will set in your life. And one of these days the clouds will gather over the sunshine and the warmth of the rays that have come on your life. And you'll look up and see him. And you'll find out that what you had heard with your ears from Brother Hiles all these almost 30 years is true. He is wonderful. He is wonderful. And you'll see him. And bless God, it will be worth it all when we see Jesus. Life's trials will seem so small when we see him. One glimpse of his dear face, all sorrow will erase. So I'll just keep on running the race till I see him. Our Father,